Awesome. I just want to confirm you can hear me okay. Everything's good?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine. Recording is in progress, and we're ready to go. So, everyone, again, I hope you had a chance to enjoy your lunch and get a walk. And this is a popular topic, I can tell by the number of people on the webcast here. So what I'm going to do really briefly is I'm going to introduce you, Corey, and give a little background about you, and then we're going to move right into the content tonight. Now, Corey and I, actually, I was introduced to Corey via Debbie Horovitz, who was on yesterday. I believe Corey was on the Google Hangout chat that we did with Chris Gelbo, I believe. That was my first introduction to you. Mm-hmm. And then I followed you onto your own website and saw where you did an interview with, I believe, Ty Cohen. And then I went further and saw where you did the foundation of the talk that we're doing today on goal setting. And so, you know, I've been following this young man for a while. He's got a really interesting story and one that I know you're going to want to hear. First of all, I'll say that Corey Wadden is a serial entrepreneur. He is an actor, a documentary, a filmmaker, and he's figured out a simple, fun, and creative way to answer many of the questions that you might have about whether or not you can achieve your dreams. I want to stop for just a moment before I let Corey share with us. Imagine that you have the power to predict your future. What would that look like? What would you do? Where would you go? And who would you meet? And this young man has actually, as I said, figured out a really fun, simple, and creative way to actually answer all of these questions. He's going to talk about that with us today. You know, Corey credits, he has, and it's called a dream book. Actually, he's going to talk about the creation of a dream book and why, although it may for some sound woo-woo, it's actually really fun and it's really powerful. And I'll tell you already, before we even go into what he's going to talk about with it, Corey credits his book for his ability to travel across Canada, secure interviews with over 10 prolific millionaires, meet many of his heroes, amass a 20,000-plus fan base on social media, and earn tens of thousands of dollars. And he's not done yet, and he's going to talk about that in just a moment. So take a moment here, sit back, and listen in, because this young man is powerful and is going to have a lot to share with you on how to set goals and get shit done. Corey, take it away.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a very kind introduction. I love that you actually said get shit done, because we probably have a broad audience on here, but that's what it is. It is a no-bullshit approach to the whole thing, but it's also a very fun one. I thought I was going to have to tell my own story, but you did a better job than I could, so thank you for that. So pretty much I'll add a little bit that you know, some may not be aware of as far as my story goes. And it goes from one, you know, step of the whole totem pole to the other, you know. And just to elaborate on that, I started off doing door-to-door sales, okay, which was, you know, one thing. And I've always wanted to be an actor, which is a whole other thing. Getting into the documentary filmmaking thing is one. Having an apps business, an e-books business, another online startup. Meeting some of my heroes, like you said, earning tens of thousands of dollars, traveling to places I've always wanted to, and accomplishing a lot of bucket list things, you know, that I never really thought that I would. But the majority of my accomplishments in my life have happened over the last, I would say, 17 months tops. And, you know, since creating this dream book, I've been able to accomplish 15% of my entire life goals, and that's within a year and a half. So it's no BS. It really works. It may sound kind of woo-woo. I'm going to go through a few different things, but I promise you this will be the most fun out of everything you do. It actually is a whole lot of fun. So I want to start with a question. I want to talk to you guys and say, you know, a goal is a dream with a deadline. Okay? And the question is, do you know what your dreams are? It's a very powerful point, because before we go into goal setting, we need to first identify what your dreams are. So, I mean, have you guys ever actually sat down and thought about what you truly want, what you truly love, what you truly want to accomplish in life, what obstacles are stopping you You know, most people don't. And, you know, they end up doing what they feel they should as opposed to doing what they want. So I've created this tool called the Dream Book that really smashes through all that, and there's a few other steps to the process. But I just want everyone to know that when you're doing goals and when you're trying to set, you know, what you do want to do, it takes the same amount of effort to do what you truly want to do, even if they're huge goals. Like, you know, if you're still young and idealistic, it takes the same amount of effort to do those as it does to do the mediocre ones that, you know, people have badgered you down into believing that's all you can do or that's what you should do. And those include but are not limited to going to school, working 9 to 5, you know, for a long time, only taking one trip a year, not setting extreme goals like breaking a world record, all these things that after a while we just start to think are not possible for us anymore, and it's a real shame. So I hope after this you guys really believe that, you know, you can do, be, or have whatever you want, and I'll go through it from one step to the next. And hopefully add some stories in between to make it interesting for you. So just to show you the importance of goal setting and figuring out what you do want and creating an action plan to go in towards and attaining it, I'm going to share a study with you, a couple stats. Now, some of you may have heard that whole, that old article back then about the Harvard students who, I think it was 3% of Harvard students set goals and out-earned the entire other 97%. It ended up being a hoax, but it's very well documented, very well cited. It's been cited over 1,000 times in big publications. But they recently did a study to actually, I guess, look into that study and see if it was real. And turns out it wasn't. So I'm not going to tell you that, you know, it's a huge miracle worker and that it's, you know, totally going to obliterate everything you've ever heard. It's not true. But every study that you do look up when it comes to goal setting always says the same thing, you know, whether it's by 200%, 100%, 50%, goal setters always outperform non-goal setters, no matter where you look. So one good study I want to share with you guys is one from Dominican University that was just happened recently, and I'm going to go back to it a couple times throughout the session. So out of 267 people that were surveyed and I guess kind of followed in this study, they were asked to break up into 5 groups. And one of the groups didn't write any goals at all, and another actually did write goals out, and the goals included a variety of goals, really, and, you know, completing a project, increasing their income, increasing productivity, getting organized, enhancing performance, balance, reducing work anxiety, and skill acquisition, which is basically just learning a new skill. And out of those 267 surveyed, the ones who did set goals outperformed the ones who didn't by 30%. It's kind of obvious, right? But it is true. And every major study I've come across now, like I said, says that goal setters outperform those who do not set goals. But what I think is more interesting to note, and I was saying it earlier, is that it takes the same amount of effort to set goals that you think you should do as the ones that you truly want to do, the ones that you've been wanting to do since you were a kid that you may have given up on. It takes the same amount of effort. But before you set the goals, I want to really question you and ask, you know, why do you want to do what you want to do? Like, what is your why? You know, what gets you up in the morning? What would you do for no money? You know, what things have you always wanted to learn but for some reason just couldn't find the time, right? The question that I think underlies all of those when it comes to your business, because I know this is a big thing what we're talking about here, ask yourself 2 questions, and this is going to pretty much set the pace for the rest of the session. Do you want to change the world, or do you want to sit on a beach? And both they're fine. You know, I'm not judging one or the other. That's totally up to you. Both are very valid, and both can make you equally happy, arguably, right? But that's what you have to understand and decide for yourself. Do you want to change the world, or do you want to sit on a beach? Because the businesses you create are going to be built around that philosophy, right? So, you know, do you want to change the world? It could take more hours. Or do you want to build a business that gives you time freedom and monetary freedom? Like I said, both are the same, but start there, right? So I just want to share a story with you, and you don't have to have it all figured out, but at least answer yourself that question, really think about it, and we'll start to go from there. So for me, I've always wanted to be an actor. I've always wanted to, in some way, change the world or be the change that I want to be, that I want to see in the world. And when I started on this challenge I'm on, which is a 2-year challenge to retire my mom, I didn't quite know beyond actually retiring her what that could mean, you know, in my life. And as I've gone on, I've started to answer the questions and built around what I'm doing. So it really does start with just taking the first step. But that being said, when I did start this, I've realized this really is what I want to do. No matter what I want to do in my life, it's going to be in some way, shape, or form about changing the world. Whether I'm acting, whether I'm doing documentaries, whether I'm in startups, everything I want to do, I want it to be in some way, shape, or form an inspiration to others. I want it to inspire people. And I didn't quite know that right away at the beginning. But if I would have asked myself that question when I was a lot younger, even though I'm only 24, which may sound young to some people, if I would have known that from the get-go, it really would have shaped all my decisions. So just start with that. Now, this book I'm talking about is something I created, back in May or June of 2012. So actually just about a year ago today, which is kind of crazy. And when I was thinking about, you know, creating something to really help get my goals in order and figure out what I want to be, do, and have, I heard about these things called a vision board. Some of you may have heard about it. It's, you know, a Bristol board of pictures of things that you want to be, do, and have, right? And they are powerful. I actually had two. But I couldn't take them on the go, and they were very superficial. What I mean by superficial was, you know, I put a picture of the Eiffel Tower because I wanted to go to Paris, but I didn't really understand why I wanted to go to Paris, right? So when I heard of this idea of creating a dream book, I thought, wow, this is 100-plus pages of things I have to, you know, want to be, do, and have. And for those of you who don't really know that, 100 pages is quite a lot, especially after doing it. I know more about myself now than I ever have after creating something like this. Like, I had to really identify the why behind Paris. I had to identify exactly where I do want to live eventually and why I want to live there, because I have to fill 6 pages of the house, you know? And not just the house, like, what's inside the house? And why do you want that there, you know? And then you start thinking about, you know, can my business actually work in that location? What I'm doing, does that fit? All these questions you don't ask yourself, because you think, oh, I'm going to have this dream house, I'm going to have this dream car, I'm going to have this dream life. But you don't actually think about the nitty-gritty, like, day-to-day life of the whole thing. And when you create a book like this, you really take the time to understand everything about yourself. And from that point forward, you build something around that, and you start accomplishing it way faster. And there is a little bit of stuff like the law of attraction that I do believe comes into play, but whether or not you do, either way, it's a great tool. So I've accomplished 15% of my life list in that period of time, I was saying. And a lot of that includes meeting heroes that, you know, I never thought or had the confidence in myself to believe that I could actually meet them or, you know, do these things I've always wanted to do. Things including, you know, meeting some of my favorite musicians, a lot of it through serendipity, which would take me a while to explain, and I won't. But if anyone wants to email me after at Corey, Corey.Wadden@gmail.com, I'll gladly answer any questions you have about particular stories in the dream book that I've accomplished. But even small things like going to a wine vineyard, I've put in the dream house I want to live in, the dream car I want to have. I put deadlines on all of them. And it's just crazy how much you can accomplish within a year. To think about that, you know, that means in less than 10 years, you've accomplished your entire life list. So that's pretty crazy to think about, considering a lot of people don't accomplish, you know, 1% in a year. And that's just the fact of the matter, unfortunately. So,
Corey, can I stop you for just 1 second? Because I want to ask you a question about that. Is
sure.
The reason why you feel people don't get the goals accomplished is because with the tool that you're using, it's not handy to them to remind them of what their dream?
I think that's part of it. I think I'd say actually it's about 30% of the reminder aspect of having it with you all the time. But I would say the majority, the 70%, is because people don't actually take that much time to really think about what they want in their lives.
Mm. Good. I just wanted to clarify that because I love it, and I just wanted to ask because it was on my mind, and I figured some other people might have that same question too. So, and I do agree. I like the dream book concept much better. I had a vision board, and I'll admit for a moment I used to hide my dream book. My dream vision board. I'm sorry, when company came over.
Yeah.
So I think the dream book is a great concept for that. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't want to. Just wanted to ask that.
Yeah, and that's true too. I mean, when I had a vision board, I was actually the same way, just because I didn't really think about why I wanted a lot of the things on there. But when I did the book, it took me about a month to fully complete, but I became proud of all of the things on there because I knew exactly why I wanted them, and I knew I could defend them. On the vision board, I thought, okay, well, you know, I want to go to Paris once again, but, you know, why do I want to go there? And I was, I guess, almost in fear of being asked that question. Oh, well, you know, everyone wants to go to Paris. Why would you not want to go to Paris? You know, that type of thing. But anyway, you don't have to actually keep a physical book. You can do something. I mean, there are great online tools like Pinterest where you can actually have secret boards. If you don't like people seeing what you want, you know, that's fine. You can keep them private, or you can make them public. And Pinterest is a great way to actually find these pictures too. So the sections I created, and you can create your own sections, but, you know, this is a guideline. So I started off with, who is the person you want to become? There's an exercise in the book Psycho-Cybernetics that tells you to look at people who have what you want and study them so intensely that you could take them out for coffee and talk about their innermost passions and things that most don't know about, right? So look for qualities of character in people who have what you want, and then put that in the book across a couple pages and highlight what qualities of character they have that you want to have in yourself, right? And talk about it as if you already do have those qualities. So, you know, if you want to be funnier, you know, because we do live in a world that's a little too serious sometimes, you know, say that no matter what interaction you're in with someone, you'll always make them laugh. In every encounter, your goal is to create one laugh, you know, with the person you're speaking with. That's a great example. But the key is you can put pictures of those people and then, you know, maybe take a moment and pretend in your mind that you are that person, you're dressing as that person. Take a photo of yourself in that moment and always have that to look at as, I guess, more of a guideline. So start with that. Then look into bucket list things that you've always wanted to do. You know, maybe you want to go skydiving. You're the extreme sports lover. Maybe you want to take a romantic vacation. Maybe you just want to have one day where you just don't plan anything and it's completely spontaneous and you say yes to everything. That could be an experience. You know, you want to learn tango in Argentina, whatever it is. Put all of those things that you've always wanted to do and put them in there. And don't really think about, you know, whether you believe you can actually achieve them or not. Just take the time and think about, in an ideal world, if I was guaranteed success, what would I put in this book? Skills you want to acquire. Some great examples are, you know, learning instruments or learning languages. I think in our day and age, we don't value skill acquisition as much as we should. Like the extra benefit of being able to speak a second language is profound. Definitely. So I wouldn't neglect that. Material possessions, dream house, dream car, whatever things materially you want to possess, you throw those in there. People who will help you get there and your heroes to meet. So when you're thinking about all of these things that you're doing, you're going to want to think about who are the people that already have, you know, what I want, that I look up to, my heroes for some way, shape, or form. And if you'd like to meet them, or people that are just great in general in the fields, you know, maybe your aspiring career, someone who's top of the field there, you know, whether you're getting an internship with them and you go into your apprenticeship phase, maybe you want to meet them. No matter what the reason is why you want to meet them, just make sure you put them down there, because there's something powerful about that section in particular that I've noticed. Like within 7 days, I had met someone from the book after making it through serendipity. So, and they were not an easy person to reach. Your dream partner. And I'm telling you, when you're very specific about who you want to be with, you'll never really end up in a relationship that you're not happy with, because you've taken some time to really think about who you want to meet. And I actually, for the first time, would like to share this story because I've never really talked about it before, but that section in particular, I went overboard with. I went like 6 pages, you know, in depth of the partner I wanted to be with. And it was pretty crazy because I think I put that there and I wasn't really thinking about it. And then it was in October-ish. I finally thought, yeah, I think I'm ready now for this to happen. I just thought that. And I shared this post on Facebook. And it went semi-viral, and I had about 20 to 30 people add me on Facebook, and one of them added me, and, you know, she intrigued me, and she was the only one out of all of the people who added me that didn't speak to me or explain why she added me. So this entire month I'm wondering, you know, why is this person not talking to me? Who is this person? So eventually I'm like, who the hell are you? You know? And, and she ended up saying, well, don't I know you? Didn't we go to school together? And I'm like, what school? And then she said the school. And I said, no, I never went there. And she's like, oh, well, that's weird. And, we ended up chatting and whatnot. And it was like this complete misunderstanding. But as I got to know her, I realized she was like every quality in the book, which is like I've always loved classic Hollywood, you know, the 1950s, that era of Hollywood. I've always loved that. And I wanted someone who appreciated that. And this girl to a T, that was like what she loves, you know, as much as I do, which is so rare. And in my book, one person I want to study under for acting one-on-one is this guy, Larry Moss, who's like, not the most well-known, he kind of is, but I mean, it's so rare. And sure enough, she had sat in on one of his classes and had a book signed by him. So there's all these really weird things that were super specific that she fit, and I really can't explain it. So I'm not here to try and explain the science of it, but I'm just saying from my own personal experience, there's been some crazy things that have happened from that book, and they keep happening in succession more and more. And last, travel. Think about the places you want to travel to in the world, but more specifically, once again, think about why you want to travel to them and try and associate those things with the other aspects of your book. So, like, if there's a person you want to meet and you know they're in your dream location, just, you know, if you have the time and the money, get on a friggin' plane and go down and meet them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And cross mm-hmm. off your two things. Just do it, you know? And when you start actually crossing things off, I promise you it's addictive. And there's studies on it. So, like, it's called the when you're thinking of habits, they're called keystone habits. And there are habits that you form, very small ones, that start a chain reaction of other habits that start to accompany that. For example, if you're waking up in the morning, studies show that if you make your bed when you wake up, you'll be more productive for the rest of your day. And in general, you'll become more productive because that's a keystone habit. That's in the book, The Power of Habit. As far as the small victories are concerned, there's a chemical in your brain called dopamine that's released every time you accomplish something you set out to do. So if you can get over and do some small things very quick, you start building confidence. And winning is a habit. You talk to anyone who's a champion in sports. I talked to a 9-time kickboxing world champion along my journey, and he was the first person to say that winning is a habit. You need to early on create scenarios that work in your favor so you can win. And once you do that, you'll have the confidence to go after more challenging things. So make sure that you do include things that, you know, you can do today or tomorrow and do them. And the confidence that it instills will make you more excited to look at your dream book more often, but also just to accomplish the goals in general, you'll have the confidence it needs and requires to go after the more challenging ones. So that is the dream book in essence. You can really go anywhere to pick up something like that. I recommend a company called Paper Blanks. I have no affiliation with them, but they just make some really, really cool journals. Just like really, really cool journals. They have like mine, for example, is Da Vinci has his inscriptions all on the outside. And it's his drawings and notes that are inscribed in the cover of his theory on the light as it reflects against the sun. Sorry, reflects against the moon from the sun. You can find ones from other outliers like Mozart, really like Darwin, all of the greats. And there's just some other really cool looking ones too. They're not expensive, but I promise you, if you have a cool looking book, you'll also be more inclined to look at it often. And that's the point, is we're trying to get you to look at this thing as often as possible.
I agree. So, you know, and you also have, because I know we have a little bonus from you too, which is a very extensive article post on your site where you break down and show your book, and we'll share that a little bit later. Do you have the links to those companies or one of the companies inside of that resource for people to find that?
Yeah, on the comment section, actually, the company I'm talking about featured me on their blog because they really liked it. So if you just look on that post and go down to the bottom in the comment section, Paper Blanks actually posts a response saying, check out the article here for on our blog, and that'll link you to their website, and you can look at all their stuff online. You'll have to order it online. They are sold in some stores, but they don't have their own store.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. All right, so from there – you have your vision, right? You have everything that you want to be, do, and have, you know, idealistically, not thinking about how it's going to happen yet, but just what you want. And from there, we're going to start building goals around it. Now, I would argue to you that the biggest reason why people fail with goals is actually two reasons, but I'll talk about the first now and the second after. The first is they're not specific enough. They're not measurable. They're not smart. And it's an acronym, and I'll explain what that is. So when you're creating your goals, you want to make sure that first they're specific. So instead of saying, I want to lose weight for the summer, you're going to say, I want to lose 10 pounds. Measurable means that, you know, how much, how many, how will I know when it's accomplished? So you say, okay, well, 10 pounds, again, is measurable and specific, right? Attainable. Is it attainable? How can the goal be accomplished? Do you have it figured out yet? Sometimes you won't always have it figured out, but you need to have at least a start or a starting point. Relevant. Is it relevant to what you really want? Does it seem worthwhile? Is it the right time? Does this match our other efforts and needs? Are you the right person right now? Is it the right time? Is it acceptable? And then last, time bound. Set a deadline. So, you know, when can I accomplish this? Should it be within 6 months, 3 months, a month, etc.? When you are setting your – yeah?
I'm sorry, one quick question. Mm-hmm. Could you go over those acronym one more time and everyone to write that down if they'd like to, just to have it in their own notes, just, you know, for their own records? I'd love to have that.
Sure.
Clarity. Yeah.
So SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound.
Perfect. Thank you.
Right? No problem. And so just to go over that example again of the losing weight, specific, 10 pounds, measurable, also 10 pounds, relevant, you know, why do you want to lose the weight? What's it for? It could be a part of your overall goal of being more healthy so you can live longer, or maybe you're trying to impress somebody. You know, maybe you're looking for your ideal partner and you want to make sure that you look your best, right? Is it relevant to you? Does it, you know, is it the right time right now to go after that, or can you put it on hold? Because you're constantly going to ask yourself this when you're looking through your dream book, which is your base point at all times. So you're going to look at that and say, is this goal right now? Is it relevant to where I am in my life right now? You know, maybe jumping out of an airplane isn't right for you right now, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe traveling to another part of the world isn't right for you right now because you're still just thinking about what kind of business you want to start, you know?
Right.
And time-bound. So what's the deadline? And deadlines are extremely important. There's an example of this gentleman. For the life of me, I can't think of his name. But he is a forward thinker in mathematics, and there was a story of where he was enrolled in the Army, and for years he had done writings on math. It's actually highlighted in the book Mastery during the creative active phase, which is a great book as well, Mastery by Robert Greene. So this guy had spent, it was like 10 years trying to write these thesis papers on mathematics, and it wasn't until he was forced into a situation where they were going to battle, even though they didn't want to, and he was enrolled, so he had to go, and he knew there was a good chance he was going to die. So he went out, and he literally wrote from sunset to sunrise without sleeping, and it all jotted out because he knew it was his last opportunity before he might die. And sure enough, he did pass away that day. And the crazy thing was that the writing he did had been cited for decades after, and people were baffled and could not come to a conclusion on how he was able to come up with that. Like, it was so ahead of its time. It's an extremely extreme example, but the idea is when you set deadlines, your brain kicks into action, and you need to set immediate deadlines to what you do, i.e. trying to retire somebody in 2 years from scratch is a pretty immediate and tough deadline, but it gets you in the gear, it kicks your butt in the gear, get shit done. You guys will see, we'll keep coming back to that.
Absolutely.
So that's what you want to do there. From there, when you do identify if it is the right time and you set the deadline on your goals, you're going to start wondering who can help you get there. And you can call this your personal board of advisors. You can call this your accountability buddy. But to go back to that original study of the goal setters versus the non-goal setters, you'll remember I said the people who set goals outperformed by the non-goal setters by 30%. Well, the people who set goals and had an accountability person that they gave a progress report to once a week outperformed the goal setters by 20% and the non-goal setters by 50%. So having someone, I'll repeat that stat in a second, but having someone to hold you accountable, that you give a progress report to of how you're doing towards those goals once per week or twice per week, whenever you want to do it, but once per week's fine. There's something about making it public. We're afraid to disappoint others. We'll disappoint ourselves before we disappoint others, which is doesn't really make sense, but studies show that's always the case. So find a group of people, two or three works. One is a great start, but choose someone that is not going to be okay with you failing. Don't choose your nice friend who's going to be like, oh, you know, that's great. Sure, try harder next time. I'm sure you did your best, right? And you're like, yeah, of course I did. They're like, great. Well, you know, keep trying. Do not ask that person because you will make no progress. Choose someone who is like a drill sergeant who is going to call you on your faults, and you're not going to like it at first. I'm telling you, you probably won't. And if you're afraid to ask that person because you know how tough it is, that is the person you have to ask. You need to have someone like that in your life. And oftentimes, if you can find someone who does have what you want, that is the basis of a mentorship relationship, which is not required. So, and that's a whole other talk. But finding people that will help you get there and accountability people are great ways to go about it. So just to kind of go over everything again, ask yourself why you want to do things. You know, as a company, there's a great talk on TED from a gentleman named Simon Sinek. And it's about the power of why in business. And Apple is a great example of a company who has their why, right? They're the only company who can create a personal computer, a digital MP3 player, a TV, a portable iPad, a tablet, and phone, and we don't question it. You know, like if Dell made a phone, you'd be like, what the heck's going on? You think it's really weird, right?
Thought about that, but it's true.
Yeah, and if you look at Apple, it's because Apple's mission is to always innovate and always create change in the world. And now we're like, wow, I wish Apple made pants, you know? I wish, you know, Apple made pools, you know? Like, that's what it comes down to. So when you understand your why, it doesn't matter if you're changing careers or whatever, you'll find that it's always in line and people will understand why you're doing what you're doing. So understand that. The second thing, once again, is to ask yourself, do you want to change the world or do you want to sit on a beach? And like I said again, either create something that goes towards that or create something that creates time freedom for you to go and do whatever you want. And you can have both too, but chances are usually people are more inclined to go one way or the other way. After that, create some kind of thing, physical thing that you can look at and feel and touch, whether it's a book, a board, Pinterest online, at least print the pictures out, and go after that, create the book, really take time to think about what you want to be, do, and have. And then from there, create SMART goals that are going to help you get there in that specific time. I suggest writing yearly goals and working back from there. Start with yearly, go back to quarterly, back to monthly, and then finally back to weekly, and then you'll write your daily to-dos each day. So that's the way you'll do that. After that, find people who are going to help you get there. Have your personal board of advisors, or just one even, and have them hold you accountable and give them progress reports each day. And I would ask that every 3 months, every 3 to 6 months, you look back at that dream book and you start anew and you say, and you reevaluate all of the things in there. You say, is this the right time now? Is it relevant for me? And if it is now, go after it. Because I tell you, if you don't believe that you can achieve the things within 6 months, it's not worth going into it yet. Because if you don't even believe you can do it, there's no point in starting it. So always choose. The relevance is super key, super, super key. And, I hope that helps you guys. I hope it gives you a good start. I'm telling you, you will accomplish at least 3 to 4x what you would if you didn't do this, guaranteed. And I would love to hear about everyone's progress as you do it. And you can follow my challenge, which is my 2-year challenge to retire my mom, on my webpage, my blog, social media. Either way, it's Millionaire by 25, whether it's .com, Facebook, Twitter, it's all the same, Millionaire by 25.
Wow. Wow. You know, I knew you were the best person to talk to about this. Well, you know, I want to say something to, first of all, because, you know, some people, again, you know, when I heard you speak, when you did this lecture at the university and I saw it on YouTube, I was instantly attracted to, because it's not like this concept or this, you know, story of doing dream books and vision boards and all of that is anything that's new. I mean, this has been on the scene or on the mindset of people now since The Secret came out several years ago. And, you know, for all intent and purposes, I think now a lot of people aren't really talking about all of that as much. And so what made it really stand out for me, in particular why I asked you to be a part of this program, is because, you know, I don't know how old you were when The Secret came out. It's not that The Secret's that old. Well, you were probably like in your teens at least when that came out. And I would think that anyone that's a teenager, especially a teenage boy, wouldn't be paying attention to stuff like that. So, you know, to see you, you know, as a young man in your early 20s, speaking about these topics, it really resonated with me because I thought, wow, here is someone that is with his peers, because you're speaking at a university, and you're talking about something that, quite frankly, you know, your parents would be talking about, you know, and even then, even only a specific type of parent would be talking about something like a dream book. But, you know, you made me, there's a couple of things that came to my mind, and one thing I wanted to say off the bat is that you just reminded me of something. Like I said, I'm literally twice your age, and you reminded me of something that I had forgotten I had done when I was your age. When I was in my early 20s, I really thought I wanted to be a designer. And I used to live in Texas where I grew up, and I made this decision to go and interview really successful New York designers. And I wrote them letters, and I said, I'm coming to Manhattan, and I want to sit down with you, and I want to pick your brain. I want to know how to get into this business. And I had completely forgotten that I had done that until you
were
talking.
That's awesome.
And I got on a plane. I flew to New York. I had no confirmed appointments. I just went and decided I was just going to show up at their office, and they were going to talk to me.
And what happened?
And two of them, I did speak with one on the phone. One I actually did come by and go to her store. It was Norma Kamali, to be exact. And the other one wrote me a letter and said, you know, I appreciate your tenacity because I never did say I would ever meet with you, but the fact that you're
that's amazing.
But the fact that you're here, and I thought about it for a second as you were speaking, it made me think maybe when you're, you know, when you're younger, you don't, you know, you just don't, you're not affected by no.
Not at all.
As much as when you get older. You just decide, I want something and I'm going to do it. But it reminded me, and I want to first thank you for that, because it reminded me of the fact that I think I've always loved to interview fascinating people.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward, you know, all these years later, I'm doing it still. But that reminded me of that and how far I was willing to go at that point in my life to talk to that person. And it's something very powerful about taking action even when you have no solid evidence that what you're trying to do is actually going to happen. It just, it can't help but shift you.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead. Well, I want to say this one last point, and I want you to share your point, is that it's the number one thing that I would say 1 out of 10, 2 maybe, will actually do.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yep.
It's really fascinating. We look at people who we look, you know, we see as idols, and we look at them and we say, oh, you know, how did they achieve that? How did they get where they are? How did they, you know, accomplish this and what have you? You know, and now again, because of what I was mentioning earlier, reality TV, now so much more stuff is in our face, if you will. And I find that really, if you really look at some of those particular, you know, quote-unquote reality stars, in my opinion, you know, they're the ones who basically have no problem making a fool of themselves on, you know, on national TV. But, you know, aside from that, is that successful people are the ones, the 10%, mm-hmm. the 20%, mm-hmm. who are willing to do the thing past the no when everyone else has been told no and will stop and walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally agree. I think you made a really, really good point there. What I want to highlight is, you know, whether you're 15 or 75, you know, on the phone right now listening in, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just that people who are younger still think anything's possible, typically, right? But the reason why things like the Dream Book and especially the Dream Book are so important is that when you put it in there and you really feel like it's what you want, it's that look in your eye when you go after it. You know, I mean, the people that were, who ended up meeting with you, it didn't matter if you were your age now. It's just that you had that look in your eye and you can get that still. It doesn't matter. And they see it. And what's crazy is people who have that when they're older actually look 10, 20 years younger because they're finally energized again and they're finally excited about it, you know. And a lot of times I've found that they lose that after a certain age. But when you do these things, everything in your life becomes an adventure again. Everything becomes exciting, you know. All these things that I can just tell you that I have to be always working towards something that I want. I have to, or else I'm miserable now. And like for me, the misery that I feel is what people go through with a smile on their face every single day as they go to work or as they do things that they really don't want to do. But they just think that that's all they can do, you know, so they go after the mediocre. But once you start going after what you truly believe you deserve and what, you know, what you really want in your life, you won't settle for anything less. And you're always going to be in some way, shape, or form going after that. And that doesn't mean that you're a workaholic. Let me clarify. It just means that you're living every moment to the fullest. You know, if you're sitting there and, you know, you want to have a beer and relax or whatever, I mean, just really enjoy that beer, you know, like really sip the hell out of that beer and just live it to the fullest. You know what I mean? And if I may, I don't want to go over too much, but.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So you said that. I do little experiments with people who are close to me now. So my girlfriend right now is going through a bit of a life change herself. And she was, you know, she's younger, she's 23, very pressured by her parents to go after a certain career that she didn't really want to do. And that can be very tough, you know, for someone at that age when you're being heavily influenced. in those situations to go and down a path you may not actually want. And it's a story that's as old as time. It's always been that way. But she ended up building up enough confidence to do something that she really believed in, and it took a lot for her to do it. And I'm telling you, this is the art of getting started. This is the art of the first step. So what happened was she decided she was going to sign up for this course for, funny enough, event design. You're talking about designing. Well, guess what? That happens in New York. So it's kind of somewhat parallel to yours, right? And she signed up for this course from this guy named Preston Bailey, who is a top performer in the industry. There you go. There you go. So Preston Bailey, and she loves this guy, right? And I'm like, okay, well, you know, sign up for it. It's like $100 a month, something like that. And if you complete the course, you do have a chance of getting an internship with Preston. And as, you know, she was doing it, you know, she had moments, as we all do when we're starting, you know, we kind of drift in and out of the motivation. And I was like, you know, check, you know, let's get it going. Just do it. And when she did, she looked at the event page, and like the very last page, it was like the third page of the events, there was this thing coming up in Vegas. And it's funny because she had started thinking about who she was going to put in her dream book. And there was like three event designers, and every single one of them was going to be there. And she's like, holy cow. And I'm like, you got to go do this. So this girl takes the money that she was supposed to have for her utilities and gets the course and books a plane. Right? Kind of crazy, but, you know, you're young, whatever. She hops on it. She goes there. And just for the sake of timing, I won't go into too much detail. But she ended up getting FaceTime with Preston, and the two other outliers got pictures with all of them, and then got verbal confirmation that either Preston Bailey or Colin Cowie, two of the top performers in the industry, would both like her to intern for them in the summertime in New York.
I love it.
So, like, just to illustrate that and just, like, repoint it out, you know, if she's listening to this, she'll probably kill me for telling people. But I think people need to know is that you need to take your first step. And there's a great example in The Alchemist, the book The Alchemist, that there's this idea of beginner's luck. I'm telling you, once you start and you start going towards what you want, the universe, for some reason, really works in your favor at first to give you that courage, you know, those small wins.
Right.
And just, I'm telling you, the start's always the easiest part. And after you get that and you have a taste of it, there's no going back.
Yeah. I call it green lights. You get a green light. If you're not quite sure, you do something, but you have to take some kind of action. And I'll take it a step further. Because I honestly feel that you won't get the next instruction until you do what's in front of you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've done that and you've shown that I'm going to take a leap of faith on my behalf, then I believe the 10 steps are made in your behalf in kind.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't happen until you do something. So until you're willing to send in the money for the ticket to go to Vegas, or you're willing to, you know, go pick up the catalog and see something that inspires you, or put pictures inside your dream book, or make a decision that you're going to do something that, quite frankly, and I'll even go a step further, to me, if it almost seems like what you're going to do logically makes no sense, is the thing that you should run to.
Funny.
I really do believe that. I've seen in my life over and over again. It's like, it just doesn't make logical sense that I would do this. But if it's not going to hurt you or anyone else around you, I say run to it, because there's something in that for you, but you won't know until you take that step.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very, very, very powerful. And thank you for sharing that, you know, that story. I wanted to, I know we're getting close to the end of our time, but I did want to share something that you had said about Pinterest. I know we're talking about creating dream books in and of itself, but you had mentioned Pinterest as well. And I don't know if you are familiar with, or any of the listeners are familiar with, Barbara Corcoran, who is one of the chief investors on the show Shark Tank.
No.
Yeah, she's a New York investor. I mean, just super powerful, very successful woman. And I recently heard her say that she doesn't she doesn't recommend necessarily when you're starting out a business. And this is a super powerful woman writing out using a business plan, like a huge formal business plan. Her business plan she recommends to people who are just getting started out is to create a Pinterest board.
Yes.
You know? She said that's what she used to grow her real estate company, was looking at images of who she wanted to be, how she would dress, where she would live, what kind of relationship she would have. And she that reminded her every single day as she was out there in the very beginning hustling in a market that tough to become a multimillionaire that she is now. So this isn't woo-woo. Major people are doing this process. They may not talk about it. You know, like Corey and I are right now, but they're doing it, or something similar.
Oh, and I can second that. I mean, and I have. I think I've studied. I've spent over 1,000 hours studying outliers over the course of this last year and a half, over 1,000 hours. It's been an obsession for me. And the majority all do this stuff in one way, shape, or form. They all do it, whether they use a dream book or whatever. They have some form of visual representation of the vision they want, and that includes who they want to be, what they want to do, what they want to have, where they want to travel, all these things, because it is the vision that motivates us and inspires us. It's not necessarily, you know, what's on paper, like you said, with the business plan. That makes a lot of sense to me, too.
Right, right, right. Well, and it's on those days when it's really the toughest, when it becomes really easy, as I kind of jokingly said this morning, when it's really kicking your when it's kicking your butt and you're driving by McDonald's and you kind of scratch your head for half a second and go, well, I wonder if they're hiring. You have to have something to sustain you beyond just that, you know, quote-unquote business plan, that business plan you can't curl up with when you're really feeling like you're just kind of beaten and you're not quite sure what to do next. So,
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is creating those stakes and having the accountability partner also helps you get through that kind of stuff, because you know that if you do give in to that, you got to explain it to somebody and why you made that decision, which is tough. You know,
which is. And Barbara Winter yesterday morning said something very similar. She says, you know, you want to keep yourself, you don't want to be, she said two things. She says, one, don't surround yourself with dream killers, and don't you be one to someone else.
Yes. Very, very important. Hugely important. I've written something on that, actually. And the thing is that people don't realize they're doing it. And that's the scary part. You know, they, in their hearts, they feel like they're helping you by giving you that advice. But here's the key principle, right? You don't typically listen to people who do not have what you want. If you do, it better be someone who's put in a whole lot of time of studying people who have things that you want. You know, like there are experimenters, and I would consider myself at this point still an experimenter because I'm in my apprenticeship phase and I have pulled off a lot of crazy stuff. But specifically for what you're looking for, I guarantee I've studied someone who has what you want, and I can clearly say that, yes, these overlying principles carry through universally to every career and every lifestyle. So that's a huge thing, is selective ignorance and, you know, who do you listen to? You know, like if your parents have been married, you know, for ages and the I mean, this is really archetypal in general. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm just saying, you know, if the man deals with the finances here and your mom is trying to give you financial advice, why would you listen to a woman who's never dealt with finances? You know, why would you listen to someone who's a pro tennis player about how to be a professional baseball player? You know, it's just, you really got to think about that. And that's the fastest point. So even when you're reading books, read books from people who have what you want, not who don't have what you want. And if they don't, make sure that they're an experimenter and have studied the people who have what you want. Those are huge points, huge points, especially at the beginning. And that's why that finding out who you want to become is so important, because you can finally look at the people who have accomplished what you have. And when you study them that intensely, you've seen that they've probably gone through a lot of the same feelings and emotions that you may be currently experiencing now. you know, and it feels great to see someone and relate to someone who's actually went out and did what you want to do and has gone through the same things you have. It gives you this sense of confidence that even if you're in the worst environment with friends who aren't supportive and a family who is just against what you're trying to do, you now have someone to relate to that can be a mentor from afar, whether it's through the book, through their documentary or whatever,
right.
And put them in your dream book to meet, because like people like Tim Ferriss, for me, when I started getting into business, he was a guy that I really, really wanted to meet. And, you know, serendipity, boom, won a contest and sure enough was trained by him. So these things happen all the time. And just getting
you
started.
Really need to be, absolutely. You know, you need to be really guarded of your dreams. And as I said, and even as you're qualifying the people that you want to take advice from too, you want to also make sure that not even that they may on the surface have what you want to have based on what you're seeing, but you also want to take your time, I think, to vet really well, because we don't always know the backstory behind how someone actually got something. So I also I like to add that addendum onto what you had, you know, mentioned earlier about the parents. You know, it's like everyone has their story around it. They might on the surface look like they're doing really well, but you want to see what cost they're paying to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that, you know, because, you know, you get information from that too, I honestly feel, that you're getting, that, you know, that you're modeling people who are really in good alignment, you know, because you can have a drug dealer that has a lot of money, but you may want the money, but not the way they actually received it. So,
so
vet really well. But, you know, Corey, this has been an absolutely amazing conversation to have, and a great way to wrap up our second day. I can't believe it's already the second day. And of our second day, moving into number three of the Monetize Your Gifts Masterclass, Corey has created a wonderful, extensive post on his blog, MillionaireBy25.com. And the link to that is available on the gift page that you'll see at getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S. He actually shows you inside his dream book. You'll see videos there, including, as he mentioned earlier, Tim Ferriss. You'll see all of the inner workings. I mean, it's a great extensive, and I thought it was the best thing to offer you and to continue this conversation that we've created here with you now to really see how to get started. And I would say you're only, for those of you listening, if you don't even own a dream book yet, I would say your next action step would be to either pick one up or start a Pinterest board. And that would be your first step. And then use that process to get really clear about what you want and be willing to go for it. And, you know, you will be able to create, I believe, anything that you really want. You just have to be willing to step into it and say yes and wait for instruction and keep answering that call and keep moving forward. So, Corey, we have about maybe a minute, 30 seconds. Any last little words for us?
Sure. Sure, I'd absolutely like to share, first off, just a couple more resources for people who are looking to have other means of some kind of visual representation of what you want. There's a new app called Everest. If you have an iPhone, it's great. If you're looking to have a thing that helps you form new habits, there's a great app called Lyft, and it is L-I-F-T for iPhone as well. I'm not sure if it's on Android yet. But it is social, so you can have your accountability partner check in on you, because you set your habits you're trying to form and your goals, and you have to check into them every single day. And your accountability partner can see if you skip a day. So that's a great tool as well. Outside of those resources, I'd just like to finish by saying that we really have a finite amount of time on planet Earth. And it can be long, it can feel long, and in a good way, and you can live a full life of everything you've ever wanted to do. You've only got one shot at it. And I'm telling you, when you do start, you're going to realize even more how finite the world is. And once you get started, you're going to start questioning things even more in a good way. You're going to question what you really want constantly, you know. But the idea is to just get started on that and Maybe you've already started and you just have to reevaluate. Maybe this is just what you needed to hear and you already knew it. But you'll end up thinking about it more once you get started in a good way, and you just won't accept mediocrity. Don't accept mediocrity. I mean, if you're on this call, you're not accepting mediocrity. So you should at least give yourself some congratulations just for listening in. You know, that's really key. Or even lasting to the end of the call, you're ahead of most people. So don't be so hard on yourself in that regard either. But just remember that you can accomplish a whole lot in a short amount of time too. Like, you can accomplish more in 1 year than you have in the last decade if you know exactly what you're going after.
That's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. And it's true, and I love that you, and I appreciate you for saying that, you know, clearly you want something more. You wouldn't be here. There's a lot of places you could be right now, and, you know, having dinner or whatever, and you're choosing to spend this time to invest in yourself and be here. And whether you go any further with this beyond this time here or not, you know, you've definitely raised your hand. So your hand is raised. Keep it up and keep moving forward. So, again, Corey, I honor you as I honor all of the presenters that have been with us today. And, again, everyone, give yourself the treat. Go over to getpaidforyourcreativity.com/gifts. Scroll down the page there, and you'll see Corey there looking up at the world, and his link is right there to check out that extensive blog post that he's gifted every one of us to see his inner work, what he's done to accomplish his goals. And this is a young man to follow. I wouldn't have brought him here if I didn't think he would be a good resource for you all. So I thank you again, Corey, for being here. So moving on, folks, we are at the end of our second day, and we are moving into our third day tomorrow morning, our last day of the masterclass at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning with Selena Maitreya. Selena is going to be talking about creating creative flow in your life and in your business. She is an extraordinary woman with an extraordinary story, a 30-year veteran as a photographer, consultant, portfolio development consultant, and artist and spiritual teacher. And she's going to be talking extensively about that flow and why it's important to be in sync with that flow as you're going for your SMART goals that you're creating tonight. So it's going to be a great conversation. And then tomorrow is going to be pretty much like a visuals day. We're going to have Joel Watkins coming on at, I think, noon from London. He's going to be doing a webinar. So we're going to have some visuals tomorrow, doing a webinar for us on how to shine on screen and get past your fear of being on video, which is an important marketing tool. You want to be on that, followed up by Nikki and Candela, who's coming on at 1 o'clock, I believe, or 2 o'clock, I'm sorry. And Nikki will be talking about how to put your best face forward and look photo fabulous for photographs and for video, followed up by Aaron Huggins, who's going to be coming on talking about how to create a massive YouTube following. Aaron has over 3 million views on her videos and has almost 13,000 subscriber list on YouTube. So the lady understands YouTube and how to leverage it. You will want to be on that call. And then we'll be wrapping up our masterclass session tomorrow evening with Rita Barber, who will be on talking about turning your inspiration into your vocation, with an action plan that you can walk away with immediately. So with that said, again, Corey, thank you for being with me. We went over a little bit tonight, but you were the last call for today, so I'm fine with us going over a little bit, and I'm sure everyone else is having fine hanging out with us, but we are going to wrap it up for the evening. So thank you, sir. Thank you, all of my wonderful guests. Keep your eyes open to your email. I'm going to be sending out an email a little later with access to all the information that you need to move forward. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Pacific. Good night, everyone. Good night, Corey.
Good night.
Good night.
The moderator has